During like this whole pandemic, do you like find yourself just like constantly asking yourself as you lay in bed, like with all this fucking phlegm and shit coming out of your mouth? Like, am I sick or do I just smoke too fucking much?
I don't know.
That's literally been my thought process this entire fucking time. I've just been like dying in bed, and I really think it's just because I smoke too much.
It might be. Why you're just dumb. No, just kidding.
Well, speaking of idiots, today we're going to be talking about some crazy fucking idiots.
Jesus Christ.
As well as one of the most exciting toys to play with, the other realm called the Ouija board. So you were Ileana.
Yes.
That is great. Ileana is my sister. For those of you that don't know, welcome to Blood Rituals as well.
Hello.
I'm your host, Nicole Fernandez. And yeah, today we want to talk about the Ouija board mainly because it's one of the most prolific and like vague experiences that people have been like putting out into the universe ever since like the 1800s. And some people say that it even spans like back to like ancient China and ancient Greece. And it's used to communicate with the dead and just like demons in general. So, and it was also used as a cocktail game for a while in the 1920s.
A cocktail game?
Yeah, like people would just like, so you know how whenever you're on a date, you like normally take them to Macaroni Grill maybe and like draw on the table?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like instead of doing that, people would put the Ouija board on the table. And it would, like, serve as, like, an icebreaker. And instead of being, like, instead of, like, asking, like, the devil something, they'd just be, like, do you want to fuck? Yes.
I'm, Jesus Christ, I'm over that.
I wish it was still a thing.
Let's just summon the demon on our first date.
I think that's true love. If you can, like, survive an official haunting together, then you know you can make it through anything together.
Yeah.
So, Ileana, what do you know about the history of the Ouija board so far?
Well, I know that the first, I'm not, like, sure whenever it was made, like, all, like, those times and stuff, but the first advertisement started appearing in newspapers in February of 1891 in Pittsburgh. And it was described as a magical device that answered questions about the past, present, and future with marvelous accuracy. And it was also promised to have never-failing amusement and recreation for all ages.
All ages?
Yep. On the current board, it says, I think it says 5 and up or like 6 and up or something like that.
And that's from Parker Brothers, right?
I think so, yeah.
From what I know, like, they're, like, referred to as talking boards. And I guess before, they were, like, relayed to the public as just, like, being used to, like, communicate with the dead. They were, like, just like you said, like, used to just, like, I don't know, like, communicate with your subconscious. But it was, like, publicized as just a talking board instead mm-hmm. of, like, communicating with the dead.
Mm-hmm. The first boards were priced at $1.50 each. Well, that was also back in the 1800s, so like that was still a lot, but
yeah, like $40 or something.
Mm-hmm. And then most psychologists believe that it does offer a link to the other side, but then others think that it's fake as well, because like to make a Ouija board work, you have to have two people, so it's probably. They always think that one person's always moving it. But if you play it by yourself, it kind of, like, tricks you. Like, there's a way to work the game. Like, your mind will move it for you, and you don't know that you're doing it. That's how most psychologists think of it. But other ones think that it's totally real.
Yeah, that action, like, where you, like, move it by yourself. Like, psychologists call that automatism. I don't know how to pronounce it right, but it's, like, it's like when it's whenever you're like avoiding connecting with your like conscious mind by like, I'm trying to think of how to word it. It's like basically using like a mechanical device, like your hands or whatever, like the creation of art, like whenever you start painting and whatnot, it's like doing those things without intentionally like thinking the entire time, just basically moving your hands based on intuition or like what your body is telling you to do.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, just like because of that, I remember reading that that place in your brain where automatism takes place is the same place in your brain where you're told like you can basically like bite off your entire finger, but you don't. And it like accesses that part of your brain and it allows you to like use it instead of just like putting it to the side and like, you know, consciously like not hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A little strange.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But there's not like that much history behind the board or why it was made or anything like that, or like who came up with the idea, because the history behind it's just as mysterious on how the game works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can keep going. I was just saying, hell yeah. It definitely is.
Yeah, nobody knows who the original creator of it is. Well, obviously, Parker Brothers, right? Is that what you said?
Well, there's like a couple of origins. There's like a, like I was reading that the history of the boards might stem like all the way back to like Pythagoras, which I don't know if you know who he is, but he's like a philosopher in ancient Greece. Like he's the person that the Pythagorean theorem was based off of, mm-hmm. because he was like so focused in philosophy and science, but there's a secret cultish history to him that basically says that him and his students like did seances and shit every night. And whenever they had their type of like Ouija board, it was basically like the entire fucking room. Like it wasn't like a tiny ass board. It was like how people in like ancient Greece did things, just like really extravagant. Like, have you ever heard of like the Oracle of Delphi?
No.
The Oracle of Delphi is basically like, it's so an oracle in themselves, or an oracle in itself is like what pendulum oracles are based off of. And those are used to like, it's like a pendulum oracle is like whenever a thread or a rope is like held by somebody's fingers, and then there's a weight at the very end of it. And that weight is supposed to swing to either yes or no to find the answer to like hidden objects and stuff. And the Oracle of Delphi is structured sort of like that, like mini thing would be based off of, but it was fucking around since like ancient Greece. Like Socrates went to the Oracle of Delphi to ask who was the wisest person alive.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's like those sorts of things. It's like it stems from like ancient times, like back when you know, Socrates went and visited, but it also like has roots in like China, because in China, like centuries before Confucius was born, which was like in 550 BC, like using Ouija like sorts of things like pendulums and stuff like that was normal, because they thought communicating with the dead was part of their religion. And they would like, it says like even back in like 13th century, the Mongols used those sorts of things to like implement like spiritual communication into their religious systems.
Mm.
Also, Liana's eating chicken wings. That's what that noise is.
Sorry.
But it's so weird, because back then in freaking China, they fucking like the person running the whole thing had like a spiritual tambourine that they would use during their ceremony. And apparently that was like supposed to relay some important messages. And for some reason, Americans like adopted this shit too later on.
What do you mean by spiritual tambourine?
Like basically the soothsayers, like the people that ran the seance, they would like call to the spirit with the accompaniment of a tambourine. Like they would like, it was like a performance. Yeah.
I didn't know if you meant like an actual tambourine or.
Yeah, like a full on tambourine. I don't know why that helps. Like, I really think that they were like, I don't know, maybe it's like one of those religious things where like music is supposed to bring about spirits or in an easier way. Like how like in church, there's just a ton of singing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But,
anyway, I saw like back in 1848, these two girls named the Fox Sisters like realized that instead of using like a board or whatever to talk to spirits, they would like call out individual letters of the alphabet and the spirits would knock accordingly, like either saying yes or no to the letters being said.
That sounds too time consuming. I'm glad the board exists. That'd be so difficult.
How long do you think it would take to spell how long do you think it would take to spell just like a normal sentence, like I want to get donuts?
They would have to go through 24 letters each time. Right, there's 24 letters in the alphabet, right?
In the ancient alphabet, apparently. I read that somewhere, but I guess like modern day is 26. I can't say you're wrong, because I just fucking read an article saying that it used to be 24.
I was talking about the modern day
one. I'm, like, stuck in ancient Greece. Like, all I've been doing is, like, studying my core humanities homework and, like, sitting in the dark. Like,
jeez. Was that, like, were they the only two that, like, was recorded to use that kind of like Ouija board, was just calling out letters, or is there like different stories?
There might be different stories, but that's the only one I saw documented.
What is it called?
They're called they're called the Fox Sisters.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah.
That sounds
pretty interesting.
And when was that? It was like ancient time?
That was in 1848.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, outside of that, during that same year, I guess it became apparent to Americans more than anything that process, and then also just, like, putting the alphabet, like, around the table and, like, tipping it, which is called, like, table tipping. That was, like, one of the most prominent forms of, like, speaking with the dead. And that's, like, that's why it's, like, kind of, like, there's mixed opinions as to, like, what the origin of the Ouija board is because even though, like, the pendulum and planchettes, which I'll get into in a second so that you know, like, planchettes and divining rods and whatnot, all of these things, and, like, speaking out, like, and having the spirit knock back and forth, it was, like, the actual, like, creation of the board itself that you were referencing earlier, like, didn't come into fruition until, like, the 1800s, but, like, the practice of, like, all of these other things that are Ouija-like have been around for a really long time, so it's, like, they aren't necessarily Ouija boards, but they act the exact same way as a Ouija board would.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the planchette used to be just a fucking table with like sticks, and then there was a pencil at the top of it, and the pencil would write out like what the answer was.
I would freaking shit my pants if I saw that. Like playing the board is fine, but like actually having it write out words and stuff is even more terrifying. I think that's like the scariest one that I've heard out of all the ones you just mentioned.
All it says when you're alone: Take a shower. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
I know, it really has. I had to get acne treatment for my legs and shit because, anyway. I thought that you would really like hearing about the divining rod because it's fucking weird. It's like they used to have these rods that they would put into like a bucket of water or like buried water. And like there was like a hand over, obviously. And then there was a hidden object underneath the water, I guess. Like if they were like, sometimes they would go and like try and find hidden objects, but if they weren't, it would just be in the water. And the stick would work the same way as the pendulum. If it were moved one way, whenever you asked an answer, it meant yes. And if moved the other way, it meant no. And they called these people dowsers or water witches.
That just reminds me of Coraline whenever somebody says that.
Water witch?
Yeah, because, like, in it, she calls, like, he calls her a water witch and because she asked for a dowsing rod and stuff like that.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
See, I never knew what a dowsing rod was. I've seen that movie friggin' millions of times, and I never knew what it was until you just told me what it was. So, like, that makes sense why it's, like, a water witch. Okay.
Water witch! Water bitch!
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. Well, the fucking board itself, like, I know, like, that was created with Parker Brothers and whatnot, but basically, like, it was created, there were a few people, like, before these people that started the process of, like, patenting it, like, any other business starts with, like, a few people that are just forgotten about, like, McDonald's, but the two main people that actually, like, got it publicized was Elijah Bond and Charles Kennard, and they made this company called, like, the Kennard Novelty Company, where they just produced, like, Ouija-like products. At first, it was just the Ouija board itself, but in order to get it patented, they literally needed to use it in front of the patenters.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fucking weird. Like, the business transaction itself was literally, like, can I speak with spirits? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, like, some people, like you said, just thought it was just, like, a psychological thing, and that's, like, why it got so widespread, but at the same time, the patenters, like, created not only, like, the fucking board, but they made, like, jewelry and, like, little toys and, like, oils and shit to, like, use at home.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Like, oils as in, like, not, like, essential oils, but, like, oil for, like, your skin.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is weird. They just, like, made it a household item.
That's
it was pretty weird for people back in the 1920s to not own one, basically.
You mean the oils or, like, the jewelry? What are you talking about? Like, what they
own? Well, it'd be fucking weird if everybody had the oil. But, I mean, it was strange for a person not to have a Ouija board in their house at that point.
Oh, you mean the... Okay. I thought you meant, like, the merchandise and stuff that they were selling. And I was like, why would everybody want that?
I mean, it's fucking metal. Like, I want that right now. But what stories did you find in regards to it?
Well, okay. So first, I wrote down, like, the top 10 rules that I feel like I should tell before I start reading these stories, because then they can, like, tell where they went wrong and everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I only have 3 stories. Okay. So the rule number 1 is don't ever taunt a spirit, which I feel like is pretty like, you need common sense to, like, not. And so if you, like, taunt the spirit, it'll obviously get mad at you. And whenever you're playing the board, it basically just opens a portal in between our world and the other world. Well, if you believe, like, in another realm or something with ghosts, it opens a portal to that.
Which I fucking do believe it.
Me too. But it opens that so they can interact with us or anything, and you're letting them in. So if you taunt them, they'll just get mad and they'll do shit to you.
So if they like end up hurt, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if like, and okay. if they end up like coming through and like hurting you, is there any way to like combat that?
Basically, it'll end everything once you say goodbye to the board.
Okay. So that's like the only remedy, really.
Kind of, because there are tricks with that that ghosts can do. They can make a noise like in the next room or something, and you can move your finger or break the circle. Then you can't say goodbye properly, so you can't really close the portal there, so they could still be around. But as long as you just like keep the circle closed and keep your hand on the planchette, then you can control if where the port like opening and closing the portal.
Does it work like a protection circle does? Like if you lift like even one finger, it breaks it?
No, you can like, as long as you just have one finger on the planchette the whole entire time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But if you like, I mean, you can like take your finger off and like itch yourself.
Like, yeah.
But you can, you have to just like keep it, keep the circle. Don't get up. Don't go somewhere else. Always stay in the circle. Don't break it. Keep your finger on the planchette.
Is there like any information that you saw that says that you needed to like have a circle of protection around you also, or is the board like safe by itself?
You can take extra precautions for that with just like a salt circle, but besides that, there's no need to, because you're not in that much danger about it. With the board, you're not in that much danger at all. So you wouldn't need one, but you can do one if you want to.
No, that's actually really cool. So it's basically like you're just on the phone with the spirit instead of them physically being in the room. But as soon as you like let go of the board, that's when they're like in your house.
It's kind of like if you're at like the front door and you're talking to someone through like a peephole or like the mailbox slot or something. And then you take your finger off the planchette or break the circle. It's you walking away from the front door unlocked so they can come in whenever they want.
I like that analogy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. Did you learn any other rules whenever you were looking into it?
Yeah, I have a lot.
Tell me them all.
Okay, so number two, you have to be careful with what questions you ask. You're not supposed to ask about anything in the future, as if, like, will I become sick? How will I die? What's going to happen in the future? Because if you know what happens in the future, you can change like the timeline of that the universe has like set, because like I believe that the universe has already written everything that's going to happen, and that if we know what's going to happen, like if we know how we're going to die, we can prevent it, and now everything's screwed up in the future.
No, they fucking said that about when I was looking at necromancy, they said that was the biggest separator between the two, that necromancy and doing seances or anything like Ouija like. The only difference between them is that you can get the future from a spirit that's risen from necromancy, but you can never get the future from a seance.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And then you're not supposed to ask if you can speak with a demon, because I don't know anybody that would want to speak with a demon and not a nice ghost. So that's just like, I don't know. And then you don't want to ask them if it's possible to possess you, because even asking that gives them permission to your body.
Oh, in what way?
If so, like, have you seen Annabelle and not Annabelle, like The Conjuring, and how he talks about how the people told them that the spirit can live inside the doll? They gave it permission to do whatever it wants with that vessel. And you saying that gives them to do what gives them permission to do whatever they want with your body with that vessel.
Damn. A note on Conjuring, though, just so everybody knows, Ileana's actually used the Ouija board in her basement that looks exactly like the basement in The Conjuring. And she lives in Kansas, which is also where many people were murdered by BTK. So you just know that Ileana's house is thriving with spirit.
Actually, I got too scared. I asked one question. I was like, is anybody here? Because it was me and my two friends, Sebastian. We were downstairs. and it was getting dark. It was probably like 6 o'clock, so like the sun was going down a little bit, so it was all like creepy and shit. And so I asked if anybody was there, and it started to move a little bit. I was like, nah, we're gonna go outside. So that's like, I already fucked up because I didn't say goodbye or anything. I picked up the board and walked out. So I was, oh my god,
sorry. Like, this is not a professional podcast. We are still getting used to things, people.
But so I picked up the board, didn't say goodbye or anything, and just went outside into the backyard to finish it. So I never actually like did anything bad in the basement because I was too scared.
That's really good. And also, it's kind of weird. They have two friends, both named Sebastian.
Yeah, one was a girl, one was a guy. It's fine.
Anyway, moving along, what's the next one?
The next one is not all spirits tell the truth. You have to remember that one because they will play tricks on you. They, like, there was this movie about it. It was like a found footage movie. I forgot what it was called, but it was these four people that were playing with a Ouija board in a house, and like the spirit was like making deals with them to like let the spirit out. And then they let the spirit out and realized that the spirit was just lying to them the entire time and was like just fucking with them. So you have to realize that they can lie to you all they want. So I would never like trust a ghost that you're talking to. But the one thing that they can't lie to you about is if they are a good spirit or a bad spirit, or if they're a demon. That's the one thing they can't, well, like good and bad, they can lie to you about that. Like if they're a spirit or a demon, that's the one thing they can't lie about.
How come?
Because I'm not really sure how come, but like a bunch of like paranormal like investigators and stuff have done a bunch of research on it, and they've said that they can't lie to you about what they are. I'm not sure why, but like yep, that's the only thing that they can lie about, that they can't lie about.
But they do lie about their name. I remember that because definitely get into, there's one story that I'll tell everybody like in a little while about this one fucking demon that, I don't know, like for some reason he's like prolific whenever it comes to Ouija boards. And it's not just like one demon. It's like ever since like ancient Chinese, like ancient Chinese seances, they didn't even want to just talk to spirits. Like, I don't know if you like listen to everything with the Japan stuff, but like, in like Japan and China, for some reason they believe in like evoking like demons sometimes. So
you say invoking? Huh? Did you say invoking spirits?
Yeah, invoking or evoking. I don't fucking know which phrase at this point in time would be appropriate for that, but basically they would like bring spirits into the realm, but they like also did that specifically with demons, which is strange. Like, I don't know why they did that. I couldn't find like actual evidence as to why that was like beneficial or not, but from what I could surmise, like they would do that sort of how people in Africa practice voodoo to protect themselves. Like, they would evoke those spirits to like attack other people so that they were safe.
Oh, I didn't know they did that. I haven't really done much research on the voodoo stuff.
Oh, it's okay. Me neither. That's just something I read, like, not too long ago. But anyway, what's the other rule?
Okay, and then you never want to play alone, because if you're alone, then the ghost can manipulate you more. And so you always want to play in a group with at least one more person. So two people's fine, like two and up. But if you play by yourself, it's most likely that the ghosts can override your power, if that makes sense, and like escape easier out of the board or the portal or whatever. And they and then they can manipulate like your feelings more and like how you're feeling.
I read that spirits can like communicate telepathically while you're using the Ouija board. Does that happen more often when people are alone?
I'm not sure about that. I've never read anything about them getting like telepathic messages or anything.
It's just like speaking inside their head instead of like out loud.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really interesting. Like, have you ever used a Ouija board by yourself?
By myself?
No. Do you know anybody that has?
No. Well, because all of my friends, if they played it, they've only played it with me. And they're obviously not alone if they play it with me.
Oh.
So that's, like, the only thing.
You, like, introduce this to everyone.
Yeah, I'm the bad influence.
I think that's probably the coolest influence. You're introducing that to a new friend that they get to carry around with them forever.
Okay, no. That's not okay.
Anyway.
Okay, and then... Sorry.
Keep going.
Then... The next rule is, it's, like, optional. It's not, like, you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. But it's not recommended to play in your own home. It's not recommended to play inside of a house at all. Because if you mess up any of these rules, you can not get rid of that spirit. After it's in your house, you probably won't get rid of it. Unless you have, like, a priest come in and, like, sage the whole house and have, like, an exorcism of the house or something like that. Then you literally can't get rid of it. And you can, if you forget to say goodbye, you're screwed because you just left the portal open and all of these freaking spirits are coming into your house. And if you piss it off, it's going to do stuff to your house. So it's recommended to play in, like, a graveyard, in, like, the woods, outside, but not in a house. You can do it if you want, if you want to be stupid, but it's not recommended at all.
I think that's where, like, demon boxes and shit came from. Like, have you seen those on YouTube? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. For those of you that don't know, there are demon boxes that people can just buy on eBay that have a curse. Like, they're said to have cursed objects and also, like, physical spirits inside these boxes. And so many people buy these boxes, go on YouTube and open them, and then their houses are fucked. It's really fucking terrifying. And I feel like that all stems from literally just needing to trap the spirit that was stuck in the household before, like being sold on eBay type mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, and there's like rituals you can do by yourself if you like. Well, obviously, they might not work. They might work. It like depends. But there's like rituals you could do on trapping spirits into boxes that work. Like even if you're not experienced or anything, they still work.
Yeah. Like, typically, magic works if your intention is there, even if you don't necessarily, like, 100% believe the magic. Like, I know people are fucking insane about the symbology and, like, memorizing, like, every single little thing and, like, practicing it to a T. But from what I understand, like, magic usually is, like, it works if your intention is there, even if you don't necessarily believe what the fuck is happening, as long as you're, like, believing that the results will come from it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you practice outside, okay. I only have like one more question. If you practice outside, like, does that mean that the spirit can like wreak havoc on Earth, or is it safer for like mankind to do it in your house?
Well, I'm not really sure what happens to the ghost whenever it's outside. Like, it can start roaming around everywhere because pretty much. Like, there's also that thought that whenever you're communing with a spirit that's in the spirit board, they're already in your house or, like, in the area that you're doing it in. And if you think of it that way, you're not releasing, you're not trapping, you're not doing anything with the spirit, you're just communicating. But if you think that it's with another dimension or something, you probably are releasing it out into the wild. And... if you are, it's not going to be really that bad. If you follow the rules, obviously, you'll close the portal and they'll just go back in. But if you don't, I don't think it's that big of a deal because they're not going to attach to you or anything. They'll probably just skedaddle.
Actually, that's really insightful. I didn't really realize, like, how rampant spirits must be, like, outside anyway. Because the world's so vast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's some good food for thought. What's the next rule that you learned?
Sorry, what?
Sorry, I was drinking my beer right when you said that. What's the next rule?
Okay, this is the most important one, obviously, is always say goodbye to the board, because then that closes up the portal and everything, and then you're good after
that. Yeah, that one's a given.
Yeah. And then, this one's kind of really important, but a lot of people don't listen to it, because they don't really know it's a rule, is don't play if you're depressed. Because if you're depressed, you're weak. You're mentally weak. And spirits love that. Well, bad spirits love that. Like, demons and bad spirits and stuff. They love whenever you're weak and vulnerable. So if you're depressed while you're playing, they can just start, like, attacking your subconscious and give you bad thoughts and, like, all of this. Like, they can even give you such bad thoughts to where you go and kill yourself. Like, that's how much power they can have over you if you play while you're depressed.
Dude, I have a short story. I'm just going to bring up that fucking demon right now because it all hangs on that rule. Because if you are depressed, that's the only way that this demon can even attach to you. But I want to come back to the rules right after we talk about it.
Okay.
So my best friend and next door neighbor, Megan, you know, she is not an insane person. Like, she is actually very smart, and she doesn't, like, she loves the occult and everything like that. But she's not one of those people that openly just fucking speaks out spirits or, like, actively believes in that type of stuff. She, like, just studies it objectively. And she used to play with Ouija boards whenever she was younger. And two different occurrences, Megan used the Ouija board in two separate locations with two different people and different boards. And both times, she communicated with a spirit named Zozo, and I don't know if you've, like, looked into that at all, but Zozo is, like, one of the most, like, he's, like, just famous with Ouija boards, but he also goes back to, like, mythology and stuff like that whenever it comes to possession, because he's apparently, like, a spirit and a demon that's been around since, like, literally, like, the 1700s, at least documentation-wise. And Zozo prefers women with mental disorders and suicidal tendencies. So he's like a typical dude that likes goth chicks. And he attaches himself to victims for years. Like, and you need, like, you typically need an exorcism or, like, a very strong spell to even break him apart from you. So, like, at this point, like, Megan, every single time, like, since that happened two times in a row, like, every time she plays Ouija, since that happened two times in a row, it's never been, like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I'm, like, tripping over my words, but basically, like, Megan's not the only person this has happened to. Like, many people get, like, a message from Zozo, and then every time they play Ouija there on after, Zozo's the only person that comes up because he's attached to them. And the only way that Zozo talks is you'll say, like, hello, and then instantly your hand's just going back and forth from Z to O, like, nonstop. And it's, like, really fucking fast and scary. And they literally only, like, prey on people that are, like, weak-minded or in hypnotic states. And he also, like, talks to them telepathically. So it's, like, if you're, like, I don't know, like, in a hypnotic state and you're not even using the Ouija board. It's also been said that Zozo can, like, be around men. He just preys on weak-minded people. So, yeah. And, like, I don't know if you've ever watched The Exorcist, but Pazuzu, which is, like, he's, like, the demon from Mesopotamia that has, like, the huge-ass dick and, like, just ruins everything in that movie. That's what Zozo is said to be based off of, but no one's really sure. However, yeah, I just wanted to point out right here and right now that being depressed definitely takes a toll on you whenever you use the Ouija board, because demons like that, like, latch onto you and, like, have a chance to, like, embed themselves in your, not just your, like, soul, but in your household as well, because you're, like, giving them full-on permission without necessarily, like, consciously giving them permission, because weak energy is manipulative. But yeah.
But the same thing with going back to like Megan's story, how she did it two times and got the same ghost. It also goes back to not all spirits tell the truth, because that's happened a lot too, because they can still lie about their name, and they'll lie and tell you that they're Zozo. And so it's happened to me a few times, like both of the times. I think I've played the Ouija board like 3 or 4 times, and 3 out of the 4 times, it always does the back Z to O thing, but I don't think that it is him each time, so it might be a different spirit doing it.
Oh shit, so that happened with you also?
Yeah, it happens a lot whenever people are using the Ouija board.
That's so weird. Do you think that goes back to the psychological thing?
I'm not sure about that one, because I didn't know who Zozo was until after my first experience was, and pretty much it was me and Audrey the first time, and neither of us knew who Zozo was, but it just kept spelling out Z-O-Z-O-Z-O. So I don't think it's really psychological with that one, because how would we know to do that?
Yeah.
How would, like, our subconscious know?
That's true, actually. And yeah, I was, like, kind of thinking, like, maybe if everyone who saw The Exorcist experienced this, like, it would make sense, like, as a collective consciousness sort of thing. But no, I think you're right. Like, thinking about the fact that the story, like, dates back to, like, the 1700s, it couldn't possibly be, like, a sort of, like, collective consciousness. But at the same time, like, it just makes me wonder, like, why it's so prominent.
I mean, sometimes it could be your head, or it could be the other people you're playing with fucking with you. You never really know. But with me and Audrey, I knew that that time it probably was either a spirit lying to us or him, because that's what it kept doing, and neither of us had heard about it. But I feel like sometimes it could be subconscious. Sometimes it could be somebody else fucking with you. It just all depends, really.
Damn. And then whenever the spirit lies to you, do you feel like, I don't know, if it's lying about being a malignant spirit, instead of just, like, revealing its own identity, do you think there would be, like, a beneficial property to that? Or do you think, like, do you think there's a benefit to, like, a spirit hiding their name?
No, really, I don't think that there's a benefit to the ghost at all, because, like, if they told me, if they, like, lied to me and was like, oh, my name's Bill, but, like, the real name is, like, Dan or something, I don't feel like there's any benefit to that, because, like, I'm not going to know. I'm going to believe you. Like, but if they were lying and, like, saying, oh, my name is Zozo, like, I don't feel like there's any benefit there except to, like, have them scare us even more.
Yeah.
And, like, they're just fucking with us a lot. Like, those spirits just fucking with us to get, like, a rise out of us. I feel like that's the only benefit that would come out of lying about your name.
Oh, fuck. Do you remember, did you ever watch the Sabrina series on Netflix?
I've only seen, like, the first 5 episodes.
I remember seeing on one episode that if you don't know the spirit's name, like, the spirit's actual name, then you don't have any control over the spirit. Oh, that's something I learned in necromancy too, is if you don't know the characteristics of the spirit in addition to their name, then you can't create any, like, spells to protect yourself.
That's happened in The Conjuring too. And the second one, she had to figure out what the spirit's name was to have control over her, and once she figured it out, she had complete control over the spirit.
I didn't watch that one.
It was the second one, I think.
Interesting. Whenever... Anyway, I don't want to get into The Conjuring too deep, because I'll fucking ask a million questions.
I feel like The Conjuring, I know that it's, like, just a movie, but it's based off of Ed and Lorraine Warren, which are real spirit. I don't know what they're called, but they're, like, real people.
They're, like, paranormal investigators, but also, yeah. Like, fuck, I don't know if I trust them. I have such mixed feelings about them, because I've heard so many things.
Well, there's also the they were involved with the Amityville Horror stuff too. So there's also that where you won't trust them. Exactly. Because of that.
That's the only reason I don't trust them, but because I mean, the Amityville Horror, I fell in love with that whole story, and then I found out it was a hoax.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the only thing that would, like, you would not trust them for, because they also, they were behind all the Annabelle stuff, which came out to be absolutely, like, 800% true. All of that. And then there was also, like, some small cases that they did, too, that made sense. So I feel like that's the only, like, bad thing that would probably affect them, or like us believing them.
Yeah. I guess I believe you there, but I'm just still really fucking pissed off about it. Like, I'm really fucking mad. Like, Amityville Horror was probably one of the best movies I ever watched, and also one of the best books I ever watched growing up. And
You just said one of the best books you watched.
Best books I fucking read. I watched it with my eyes.
I hate you.
Oh, man.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, what other rules do you have?
Okay. This one is, like, it's not really, like, an essential, again. But if you want to keep talking to a spirit, you're going to want to, do it?
Really? So,
this is the last
one. I'm so glad you solved that mystery, Sherlock. I didn't know you just had to fucking do it.
So you don't want to ask when a spirit has died, because they'll completely shut down. Like, obviously, if they were okay with it, how they died, and, like, they've come to peace with it, they might tell you, and they might, like, keep talking to you, but some, since if they had such a traumatic death, they'll completely shut down because they're sitting there thinking about it and reliving it.
Interesting. So sort of like whenever people are, like, brought back to the dead, like I've, like, studied a lot about necromancy in the last week, so I'm sorry I keep referencing it, but whenever people are brought back to life, even in those situations, they're, like, lamenting on the fact that they died and they are confused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's common.
It's all about, because let's use the, if somebody was in, like, a car accident or something that, like, completely changed their life, and you ask them about it, they're going to shut down because they're going to start reliving that moment in their head. The same thing can happen with a ghost, too. But it's only if, like, their death was so traumatic. So that's why it's not, like, a necessity rule or anything. Because you can get a ghost that's like, damn, yeah, here's how I died. Other ones are going to be like, bye. But, like, you don't really know.
And it might be important to point out here to everybody that ghosts are known to be spirits that lived on Earth and died on Earth. And then demons are known to be, like, always infernal spirits, like, from hell.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I think it's really interesting that, like, they would even go back and, like, relive that whole entire experience and, like, relay it to the person in the seance. But at the same time, if that person's, like, trapped in the spirit realm and they have no other person to communicate that with, it kind of makes sense because they're just, like, in a state of perpetually living a memory over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So you're like the therapist to the ghost.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, you can be, but most of the time they might just shut down on you.
Just like a couple therapy sessions.
It really depends. Jesus Christ. But yeah, those are all the rules that I have.
Nice. And what stories did you end up finding?
There was three of them. It's like, it's a kind of long one, and then a really short one, and then another, like, medium-sized one. But they're all from, like, the first one is people that lived in Florida, the second one is people that lived in New Hampshire, and then the third one is California, I think.
Let's go Florida. Usually people in Florida are really dumb.
Okay, this one, this is, like, my favorite. But, okay. It starts with three guys had been playing the board one night in their basement. In the corner of the room was a giant porcelain doll. Prior to starting, one of the guys took the doll upstairs and placed it face down in a pile of towels on the other side of the room, then joined the others back downstairs. After playing for 30 minutes, one of the guys went to the bathroom. While in the bathroom, the other two guys kept messing around with the board and ended up saying one of them would die in the Air Force. They didn't think anything of that one. And then the board started, and then they asked who was in the other room, and all the board did was just say some random numbers. When the other guy returned from the bathroom, they told him what the board had said, and he replied with, "That was my social security."
Oh my God.
And yeah. And then they all started to believe the board and asked one last question, is if they can prove its presence. All it did was spell out doll. They went to check on the porcelain doll they had put upstairs. When they opened the door, the doll was standing right up next to the door, staring at them in the face.
Oh my! Was it like the Annabelle doll? Like it wasn't supposed to be like moving at all, but it was standing straight up as if it had like sticks in its cotton legs.
Well, it's a porcelain doll, so I'm like in my head, I'm imagining like those dolls that Grandma made us whenever we were younger, that had like the sticks in the back.
And oh, those dolls! Just for all of you that don't fucking know my grandma, which is really sad if you don't. Like, well, poor grandma.
Yeah.
These dolls are like the tiny little porcelain ones that you would buy that were mass produced, like back in like, they must have been mass produced around like the 50s or 60s because they're still modern looking, but they're very pretty and small. They're like about a foot tall. Anyway, keep going.
But they had seen that standing straight up and just looking at them in the eyes. And then they all quickly grabbed the Ouija board, threw it away, and didn't speak about the thing for the rest of the night. And then the next couple of months, one of the guys started to become temporarily insane, and the other joined the Air Force.
Oh my God! Didn't it mention going to the Air Force and killing someone?
Yeah, that's whenever I was reading it, I was like, why did they mention that one of them would die in the Air Force? And then I read the end of the story, I was like, oh. I'm like, okay, you kind of asked for that. Yeah, you knew what was going to happen.
Oh my God. So if you ever got a piece of information from a Ouija board, no matter how skeptical you are, would you fucking, like, just let it happen? Would you ever do that? Or am I just crazy for thinking that it's probably smarter to not join the army?
I would definitely not fucking, I would listen to the damn Ouija board. Because I'm not dumb.
Like, who fucking cares if that's your life dream to go shoot some fucking guy? Like, just do that at home. You can do that here. Like, you don't have to fucking get caught. Just be smart about it. Just be like Dexter instead of going into the army.
Jesus Christ, okay.
Fuck. I have a few stories, man. I have a couple from, like, the early 1900s, and then I have one that is sincerely the biggest fuck-up that has ever happened with Ouija, almost. Which one do you want to hear?
That one.
I call this one the Carroll Family Fuck-Up.
Okay, good.
It all starts on Christmas Eve of 2014. This man named Paul Carroll, he was 51 years old, and they lived in Durham, United Kingdom, and he wanted to use the Ouija board just to, like, communicate with the dead. And whenever he did this, he ended up, like, he told everybody, including his family, and he solemnly believes that the devil possessed his dog. And Carol literally drowned the dog in a bathtub, dismembered the body, and then dumped the body in an outside ditch near an old place called the Hat and Feather Pub.
What the hell?
Why do the English name things so horribly? Like, he literally stuffed a dead dog into a drain where a bar is named after a man who stuffs a fucking feather in his hat. Like, it's kind of poetic, but it's really fucking weird.
Did he have, like, do you know if he had mental illnesses prior to all of that?
Yes, that is exactly what I wanted to point out next, is that he had many learning disabilities.
My God.
As a person that's studying to be a secondary education teacher, I must say, just because you have learning disabilities does not mean that you are destined to murder people. I just want to say that if you have learning disabilities, it somewhat influences your actions in a way. And I think that's what happened here, is that he was just really fucking confused, and he, like, just felt the urge to, like, murder his dog. And, like, going back to the psychological thing where me and you were talking about how, like, this might just might be an urge that came up. From, like, all the stories that I have back in the 1920s, which we'll get to, like, many of these people, like, acted out those urges that were going on in their brain anyway through the Ouija board. So it's possible that he just fucking hated his dog. And his attorney, Blair Martin, he said, well, actually, sorry, not his attorney, the actual, like, police officer that ended up doing all this shit, he said that the neighbor said that he, like, was worried about the terrier because he hadn't seen him in a while. And he ended up going to Carol's house. And whenever he did that, Carol told him that he hit the dog over the head with a shovel and put it down the drain. And the neighbor thought it was a fucking joke, obviously, because it kind of sounds like a weird Texas joke. And, like, whenever Carol was, like, actually questioned, he, like, just told the police everything. He was just like, no, like, an evil spirit possessed my dog and I had to kill it. And whenever he went to jail, like, his attorney, this time David Malone, he ended up saying, like, the whole entire time he was, like, super cooperative. He wasn't like everything with the Amityville Horror example, mm-hmm. like, he didn't sit there and, like, try to create an insanity plea like George Lutz did. Like, he didn't go through this whole entire, like, well, not George Lutz. I can't remember the first guy that was living there before them, but he didn't try to create an insanity plea. He just told them that, yeah, I did that. And he admitted everything. And then eventually, on the record, he told people, yeah, like, I killed my dog under no just cause. But off the record, to everybody else, he still tells the same story, that the devil possessed his dog. He thoroughly believes it. And he only spent 18 weeks in jail. Only 18 weeks. And he had a suspension of only 1 year, where people ended up supervising him that entire time. And he paid 165 euros in court, which is fucking nothing. And he was lawfully banned from owning animals for 10 years. So,
only 10 years?
Literally only 10 years. And he was only put in jail for 18 weeks.
Where was this at?
This was in Durham, United Kingdom. It's like, yeah, not our country. But
if it was, he would not be able to own a pet ever. And it would probably be like 5 years in jail.
Well, I don't know about that. Our justice system is very questionable.
Yes, sir.
But it gets worse from there, dude. So, like, it doesn't really end there, because the whole family had a hand in the Ouija board at some point. So, like, after that, the actual, like, head magistrate, her name was Anita Atkinson, said, for this offense of unnecessarily suffering to an animal, mainly the dog, we believe it's so serious to warrant a custodial sentence, but you pleaded guilty straight away and cooperated with the police. We also accept that you're vulnerable, so we have been persuaded to suspend your sentence. So basically, like, as long as you're honest about murdering your dog, you're going to be fine.
Jesus, don't say that.
Just so you know, guys, this isn't from me. This is from the fucking head magistrate of England, or the United Kingdom.
Fuck.
Anyway, the wife and the daughter, Margaret and Katrina, Margaret was 60, by the way, and Katrina was 37. So it's not like a 30-year-old mom with her 5-year-old daughter. These are people that are very well aware of their surroundings, and they have no history of mental illness. Like, you know, like freaking, I forgot his name almost, like Paul did. They just wanted to use the Ouija board one last time to communicate with the dead dog spirit in order to like really get closure on the experience that happened with their, or with Margaret's husband. And whenever they sat down and used the board, the only message they received was one that prophesied an untimely death for both of them, like immediately. So the very next day, it was said that the girls were in a trance state and they were placing gas cans all over the house after they took handfuls of prescription pills, and then they set the house on fire trying to kill themselves. And they freaking were both hospitalized, and they both survived the incident, and they both went to jail for 4 years. But to this day, there's no explanation as to why that happened other than literally just that the Ouija board said so.
Jesus Christ. That was all just like one family that that happened to?
That was all one family within the span of 1 year.
Oh my God.
The whole thing happened with Margaret and Katrina only a couple months later in 2015.
Fuck.
So how do you feel about that?
That's like, I don't even know. Like, I'm still on the fact that he thought his dog was possessed. I don't know how you think your dog's possessed. Until he's like speaking tongues or something. I don't know.
Your dog's just but... talking. Can I have a dollar?
Stop. But I just don't know how, like, or, like, what happened, or, like, what the ghost said to them. Or if they were possessed, they could have been possessed, right?
Like, the people themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's a total possibility. I'm actually really stuck on the fact that the fucking pub is named the Hat and Feather Pub.
Stop. There was a dead dog in this story.
That's not important. The important part is the fucking weird-ass name that England puts on their businesses. It's an injustice, and I don't like it.
Fuck.
What's your next story?
Okay, so it's either the California one or the New Hampshire one.
New Hampshire.
Okay, this one's really short, so I'll probably just say the California one right after it.
Okay.
So a girl's great aunt has never been married. When she asked her father why, he said that when she was 16, she had a very serious boyfriend, as she, meaning the great aunt. She used the board one night and asked if they'd get married. The board said no. She asked if they'd break up. The board said no. Then she asked if one of them would die. It said yes. When she asked who, all it said was goodbye. A week later, her boyfriend died in a wood chipper accident at work.
Holy shit.
I know.
Oh my.
That was in, I think that was, I read that it was in like 2005 or like 2004 that story happened.
Was there any?
Not like him actually dying, but like it was written then.
Were there any notes, like, as to, like, if she told her boyfriend?
Mm-mm. There was nothing, because it was all from, like, that one girl's perspective. It wasn't from the aunt's perspective at all. Because she didn't ask her aunt. She just asked her dad.
Oh. Well, that sounds fishy. But also really fucking terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in California?
I mean, there could be, like, some holes in there. What?
I said, what happened in California?
This one's freaking insane. Okay. So, a girl was 13 when her best friend and brother went to the basement to play the Ouija board. They were mostly getting just gibberish and some real words, but nothing really made sense. Not long after, they were about to end the session when the board spelled out, "I can see you through his eyes. And I can see you through the window." The only window was a little rectangle in the corner that looked straight into the driveway and the woods beyond. They asked a few more questions. It replied with, "I'm under the car." They were scared and wanted to check it out. They went outside and checked under the car. Looking back at them was a black cat that was hissing at them. They ran back into the house, and as soon as they did, the power went out. 10 minutes later, it came back on, and they sat there in fear for the rest of the night.
Oh, my God.
I think it just got me because it said black cat, and, like, black cats are usually attached to, like, spirits and stuff. Not, like, all of them, obviously, but, like, they're attached to, like, bad luck in spirits and all of that.
Yeah, and if it says that you're literally under the fucking car and it hisses at you, that's so scary.
I know. That story just trips me out.
Oh my God. That's why I'm kind of scared to, like, use Ouija boards outside, because, like, I don't know if they'll, like, give some indication as to, like, my actual living residence, you know? I'm scared to use I'm scared to use Ouija boards anywhere, but
mm-hmm.
Damn. Where in California was that?
I think it said San Francisco.
Sounds about right.
It was either San Francisco or Sacramento. I know it had an S in it.
Either way, that's fucking terrifying. So whenever, like, that ended up happening, was there, like, a report of, like, a haunting after that, too?
None of the stories that I looked up really had backstories after them.
Mm-hmm.
All they had was where it happened and then the story.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with you and your research. I think, like, most of the Ouija stories in general are just, like, really vague. All right, so I got a story in regards to, like, a case being appealed in court because of the Ouija board. And it all stems, like, back on February 10th, 1993. There was a young, and he was an insurance broker. No surprise there that he's using a fucking Ouija board. And he entered the home of a 45-year-old car dealer, which is even worse, Harry Fuller. And they lived in Wadhurst, England. Yet another tale in England that just doesn't make sense. England? Anyway, my friend aside, young, he was swimming in debt, and he knew that Fuller, like, kept large amounts of money in his house. So Young shot Fuller in the back and then shot his wife, Nicola, 4 times in the face. And when Nicola, there was only 1 time that she got shot in the face, but all the other times she was shot in the back. When Nicola called the police, the operator heard noises, but she thought it was a child playing games. So no help was sent, but it really was just Nicola trying to talk through her fucking severely broken jaw.
That's so messed up.
It's fucking terrifying. And a short time later, Young was arrested for the crime, obviously, and he admitted going to Fuller's house on the day of the murder, he insisted that Harry and Nicola were already dead, which prompted him to run away in fear. And obviously that didn't work, and he was convinced to 2 life sentences. But in October of 1994, which was shortly after that, a retrial was ordered because 4 of the jurors sought a bit of help from the Ouija board by using an upturned wine glass instead of a planchette in an attempt to contact the victims and ask them if Young did it. And apparently the board confirmed that Young was the murderer. So the next morning, the 4 jurors told the other 8 jurors about the board's message. And even though the jurors insisted they didn't take, like, the actual, like, Ouija board seriously on record, the appeal still happened. Like, the second trial was granted based on the Ouija board's decision, basically. And the retrial didn't fucking do anything. Like, he was still convicted, like Young was. But it just goes to show that the justice system's been utilizing, like, these supernatural things more than once. Like, this isn't the only story where, like, jurors utilize, like, fucking Ouija boards. It's sort of like the whole thing where, like, people utilize, like, mediums to even make sketches. Like, we always look towards, like, some sort of, like, outside realm for help.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There's a lot of shit that we could say on Ouija boards. Did you have any other stories, Ellie?
No.
No.
Well, I mean, there is the one of whenever I played it at Subway.
Dude, yes! Tell me that one!
I feel like it's... I don't like talking about it because it was really fucking terrifying whenever it was happening. But... So it was me, Audrey, my friend Jason and Alex, and we all worked at Subway, but we all like hung out there after hours because there was like no cameras or anything. So we could all just sit there if we wanted to, and we all had keys and all of that. So we just hung out there, and then we shut off all of the lights and we started to play the Ouija board. And Jason was like, he was a medium kind of. He's like, he can talk to like some spirits and stuff already. So I feel like that's why most of this happened, is because it was like attacking him mostly. So we were doing it kind of different. Like, we sat there and we like played it regularly with like asking questions. It was moving back and forth. And then that's one of the times that it did the Zuzu thing. And whenever it did that, Jason was just like, oh, just automatically move it to goodbye and then take your fingers off and everybody step out of the circle. So we did that, and then we came back to it, and instead we put the board upside down and we took the planchette and put it to the side, and then we all put our hand on it and then we put our heads down and closed our eyes. And I'm not sure what that was for, but it did something bad. And so we sat there and the board just kept moving while we all had our heads down, and it just kept moving in directions and everything. And then after that, we all picked up our heads, turned the board over, and Audrey was sitting next to me, and then it was Jason and Alex on the other side of the table. And Audrey was just like staring at nothing, and she like had cash in her bra because we had got like tips that day. And she just kept pulling it out and counting it. Like, she did that about 10 times. And so we were like, what the hell are you doing? Why do you keep counting your money? You've done it so many times already, and you're not even talking. And she didn't, like, put her finger or anything back on the board whenever we were playing, so we thought that was kind of weird, too. And then she just got up and went to the bathroom and sat in the bathroom for about 30 minutes. And the lights...
Audrey sounds like a stripper right now on a lot of coke, but I know that's not what was happening. That's terrifying.
But she went into the bathroom for 30 minutes, and the bathroom lights are automatic, and so we have in the back of the store, we have to turn off the lights at the end of our shift. Well, we turned off all of the lights in the whole entire place, so Audrey was just sitting in a dark bathroom for 30 minutes
and she didn't notice.
No, because, no, but
what the fuck?
Then after that, we all went to the door because we realized, we were like, damn, Audrey has been taking a shit for a while, because we thought that's what she was doing. So we didn't think anything had happened. And then so we went to the door and we started knocking on it, and then we realized, we were like, we're going to shut the lights off on her. And then Alex goes back and comes back and he's like, well, the lights are already off, so I don't know what she's doing in there. And so we tried to, like, there's only one set of keys to get in there, and she had them. And so we couldn't open the door ourselves. So we just started knocking and, like, moving the handle and stuff and, like, trying to get her out. And then she just starts pounding on the other side of the door, like, super fucking hard. And then just stops, open the door, and then starts to walk away. And we're like, what? Okay. I don't know what the fuck just happened there. And then at this point, Jason's like, dude, she literally is possessed. I don't know what you guys are doing. So Audrey, like, something possessed Audrey. And me and Alex were, like, kind of making jokes because that's what we do in scary situations.
Yeah.
To, like, cope with it. And Jason's like, why are you guys... Oh, did you hear that? Fuzzy just meowed. Okay, sorry. So, Jason's like, I don't know why you guys are laughing. This is serious. She's literally, like, going fucking insane. And then he was like, Jason's like, go get the salt, and we're going to try to unpossess her ourselves. And I was like, how? Okay.
How? Like, I'm just going to feed her salt.
So we got salt, and he's like, just get salt and mix it with water, and then make sure to have the salt thing next to you. So we have salt water and then a thing of salt. And so we took the salt water, and, like, Jason had, like, trapped her by where the bathroom is. And so we walked over there, and Jason's like, throw the water in her face. I was like, okay. So we threw the water in her face, and she just starts freaking out. Because we were on the second floor. Subway was on the second floor. So there were, like, glass doors that could slide open. Since we didn't have windows, we had little doors that opened to the outside. And there were railing in front of them, so obviously nobody falls off. Well, she ended up opening one of them and trying to jump out of it. And
oh my god, after you threw it in her face?
After we did, yeah.
Oh my god.
And then after that, Jason had grabbed her to pull her back inside. Like, Jason and Alex did this. I was panicking because I have severe anxiety, so I can't act fast whenever things are happening. So I kind of just was standing there like... I was stuck, and Jason was like, okay, go grab salt now, and I was like, and nobody knew where the salt went. It just disappeared, so I had to go look at the other end of the store for it, and all I hear is this, like, murdered, like, Audrey was getting murdered in the corner. It just sounded like she was screaming. It was so terrifying. Like, I could still hear it, and it was such a loud, bad scream, and then I was like, what the fuck? And then she stood up and acted like nothing happened and was perfectly fine. And then we told her what happened. She's like, I dead ass don't remember any of that. I remember putting my head down and my hand on the board.
Oh my god. So she just thought that you guys were done playing Ouija and that was it?
Yeah. She thought we were still had our heads down and our hands on the board. And then she just, like, acted perfectly normal. It was like, what's up, guys? And it was terrifying.
Was she confused, like, about where she was?
Kind of. But, like, she went from having her eyes closed to, like, being somewhere else that's kind of dark. So I'm not sure if she was that. She wasn't really, like, asking. She wasn't like, oh, where am I? What happened? Like that. She just acted perfectly normal.
That's so weird.
It is. Because I don't know. It was fucking weird. And then we just told her what happened and nothing. She was like, nope. I just remember having my head down. And then I remember just walking back from the bathroom. And I was like, oh, okay.
And Audrey, like, is she known for, like, fucking with you like that? Or is it, like, completely out of the ordinary?
No, like, me and Alex thought that this was a joke the entire time. Until we heard her scream. That's how terrifying her scream was. And that's whenever we believe that it's real. And that's why I still believe it. Because I feel like that was like 3 years ago whenever I still lived there. And so I feel like Audrey would have, if it was a hoax or something, Audrey would have told us by now.
And she still says that she doesn't remember anything?
Yeah.
Wow. That is fucking scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Alex were completely convinced that it was a joke until she just started screaming, and she wouldn't be lying this whole time either.
No, it doesn't seem like it. But at the same time,
I mean, it could, like, some people can poke, like, holes in it and stuff and, like, make it sound fake.
Yeah, but from personal experience, just knowing who Audrey is as a person and you too, like, it doesn't seem like she would lie about something like that. And she doesn't seem like spiritual either, right?
Not really. Well, I mean, she believes in ghosts, obviously, but like, she's not like super into it.
That makes sense. So she'd have like no reason to like prove that she was fucking possessed either.
No.
God, I can't believe I've never heard that story before.
I thought I've told you. Well, I don't really like talking about it because it was such a fucked up night.
Yeah, it almost feels like, I don't know, whenever you talk about experiences with ghosts and stuff, it almost feels like you're like cursing yourself by like bringing it up again in a weird way. Like, I don't know if it's like an actual thing, but like, it almost seems like whenever you like talk about spirits or like research spirits, they like inherently like come into your life a lot more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fucking know. Either way, there are like countless fucking stories regarding Ouija. We might do another episode on all of these stories because there's a lot more to like cover, but in essence, it just goes to show that whenever you use a Ouija board, you definitely need to be careful about what you're doing, or else you can you can welcome a spirit into your house that will stay there, or you can welcome a spirit into your life that'll attach itself to you, or like Ileana just explained, will physically possess you. And for a period of time, you just lose track of your memory because you have no access to it. It's just very fucking strange, but this is only, like I said, a few stories that we looked up. So if you want to look into more and maybe, like, report back to, like, Blood Rituals through the email that's provided in the little information that's gathered here, the email that I have is nicole883@gmail.com. Please, like, send us any Ouija stories that you have, especially if it involves murder, because I want to know. But outside of that, I think that we'll go ahead and, like, wrap this up, because if not, we'll definitely be talking for, like, 3 hours because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm Nicole, and, you know, this is Illy.
Yeah, I'm Ileana.
Thank you so much for doing all this. I really appreciate it, Illy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, all of you guys, just stay safe. Don't fucking use a Ouija board without saying goodbye, and like Ileana just mentioned, maybe have some salt water around just in case your friend tries to fucking commit suicide.
Aww.
All right. Good night, everybody. I love you, Illy.
Love you too. Bye.